Welcome to the Sketchy Sketch Sketch Show podcast. It's open mic night for sketch.
We cold read comedy sketches, then discuss how they were written.
Well, here to keep all these goofs going, I'm Harrison.
And I'm Amy. In this week's episode, who you calling an oar? Then, the quickest way out of a scary mess. Finally, a bathroom trip a long time a-coming. Then, won't you join Tyler and Keith on the riff train?
And stick around to the very end for a fun writing prompt to inspire your own writing. With us on the podcast today.
Alicia Reem, she, her.
Billy Lawrence, he, him.
Chris Packard, he, him.
Keely Anastasia, she, her.
Keithy, he, him.
Lisa Weitzman, she, her.
Sam Whitney, she, her.
Tyler Chick, they, she.
All right, everybody, what's up? You ready to goof?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Them goofs.
Yes. Yes.
It's goofing time.
Mighty Morphin Goofin' Rangers.
Yeah. Yeah. We're gonna goof to the roof.
We're gonna goof to the roof.
Oh, goof to the roof. Isn't that that novelty song that Dennis Rodman made in the 90s? Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past him. Wasn't he like Demolition Man too? Or am I thinking of a different person?
There's a lot of stuff I wouldn't put past Dennis Rodman.
He's friends with Kim Jong-un, which is
nice. Yeah. Oh, that guy. Okay. Yeah, I know who we're talking about now.
Isn't he the king of the moon, too?
King of the moon?
The moon?
Huh? Yeah. Explain.
Can you be the king of the moon? Is that what they're...
If you say you are, I think.
It's like you can name a star after you. There's enough stars. Yeah. Anyone can buy a star. You know.
I have a star named after me. I didn't pay for it. No one paid for it. I just looked at a star one day and was like, hey, that's Alicia.
That was
mine. And play it out of a night sky now.
Let's do some sketches.
Yes.
Okay. Our first sketch tonight is titled Jonathan Catan. Written by
Billy Lawrence.
Marco will be played by
Harrison Merkt.
Jimmy will be played by
Chris Packard.
Jennifer will be played by
Amy D.
Drake will be played by
Lisa Weitzman.
And Jonathan Catan will be played by
Keithy.
Interior living room night. Four friends, Marco, Jimmy, Jennifer, and Drake, are gathered around a table playing the popular game Settlers of Catan.
I'm going to build a road and put it right here.
Marco places the road in front of Jimmy.
Oh, you're such a fart, Marco. You totally boxed me in.
Sorry, Jimmy. That's just how we settle things here in Catan.
Jimmy mimics throwing up, and Drake, who is seated across from him, laughs.
Does anybody have any wood?
Jimmy and Jake shake their heads. Jennifer nods.
Yeah, I have some.
Would you trade it for some more?
Jennifer looks at Marco, offended.
What did you just call me?
I just asked if you would trade me a wood for an oar.
Wait, what's an oar?
Marco flashes the rock card at the group.
That's just called rock, Marco.
Maybe in layman's terms, its proper name is oar.
Who are you calling a lame man?
Honestly, Jimmy, ever since you became a Fulbright scholar, you've become pretty unbearable.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize calling things by their proper name was annoying. This is just like that time I broke that vase.
It was an urn, and it had my grandmother's ashes in it.
I said I was sorry, James.
My name is Jimmy.
Can we just keep playing? I swear you boys always fight about the dumbest things. No, Marco, I don't want to trade wood for ore, but I'll trade an ore for a sheep.
Jennifer holds up the sheep card and an annoyed expression on her face.
Oh, you mean an Ovis Aries.
Okay, never mind. Jimmy, where's your grandfather? I'm about to break him over Marco's head.
Can we please stop desecrating my grandparents over semantics?
Semantics? You sound just like Marco.
This is why I never want to play Settlers of Catan with you guys.
It's pronounced Catan.
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 Suddenly, there is a power surge and all the lights go out. The group makes shocked noises in the dark. When the lights return, a ghostly man is standing in the middle of the group. They all scream.
I am Jonathan Catan. I am the original settler of Catan.
I told you it was Catan.
I'll kill you.
Jennifer lunges at Marco, but Jonathan Catan stops her.
Whoa, what is going on here? I invented this game to bring people together, not tear them apart.
He keeps being annoying.
Come now. That is no reason for violence. Catan is a peaceful land where people trade and build and are happy. We must work together to build Catan, to support each other in the free market. If we don't, the communists win. Do you want the communists to win?
Jennifer stops fighting Jonathan Catan and they all shake their heads, embarrassed.
That's what I thought. Now, whose turn was it?
It was mine, Mr. Catan.
Ah, excellent. And what resource do you need, my dear boy?
Marco looks at his hand.
Does anyone have any slit loam?
There's a moment of pause where no one says anything.
Okay, never mind. Get him, Jennifer! Get him, girl!
Jennifer lunges at Marco, who screams. She begins chasing him around the room. At one point, she grabs an urn, which reads Grandpapa, on the side and holds it above her head as she chases him. Jimmy jumps up to stop her from breaking the urn. Drake eats Flaming Hot Cheetos and watches the chaos unfold.
Yeah!
Let's talk about that sketch.
The writing process just comes from playing Catan a bunch and everyone calling the things different things. Mm. I just thought that was funny. I don't know. It's like, it's kind of a weird, but yeah, that's where that comes from. Because I always think it's weird when people call the rock ore, even though I think it is ore.
It is ore.
Like, do we have a group consensus on that or... Or.
Or.
Well, is there like stuff in the rock?
I think it's supposed to be like, you know, iron or something or like material. Like, I don't know. We
probably be ore. Then. Yeah.
I just thought that sounded too pretentious. But, you know, yeah, the game is just Marco just keeps calling things by their fancy names.
I love Jonathan Catan coming out and being like, Jonathan Catan, it's so good. Your blow is amazing. It's so funny. Anytime that like the dead are disrespected, you know, that gives you a freebie to get out of your sketch.
<You know>? Woo!
I'm gonna take that one with me.
Yeah, seriously.
One thing I like think is amazing about this is how Jonathan Catan is like makes it clear eventually that he's like a master of this free market attitude, and I would love to hear more of that from Jonathan Catan. Like every time he speaks, just like
he's just like super pro, like right. Capitalist free market. I love that.
I don't know. I think there's something to like a free market attitude clashing with like these people not trading because they're bickering over small things being like bureaucrats or like red tape.
Ooh.
So if Jonathan Catan is somehow being like, I just trade with each other, you know, like,
damn, that's some galaxy mind right there. I was not thinking on that level. I love that.
With all that said, I think you get Jonathan Catan out like sooner, you know, like just like, okay, boom, he's there.
I was going to say bring Jonathan Catan out sooner as well. But the end where I would like to see that dialogue exchange between Marco and Jonathan, maybe where Jonathan explains what silt loam actually is. Give him a little bit more room to get annoyed, because he just goes from like, and that might just happen naturally as he's in the scene longer, but give him a little more room to be like, okay, now you can kill him, you know?
Okay.
But just say, like, it's the clay, dummy, whatever.
Yeah.
You fart. Please say you fart once or twice more, please.
You fart.
Because I really love that at the top.
Okay. Totally.
Such a
totally.
Good insult.
He could, like, point to the card. He's like, do you see the reddish property of the clay? Like, clearly this is silt loam, you jerks. I wrote the fart comes from, I think one of the prompts for this when I was writing it was like, it has to be like appropriate for like kids or like age appropriate. Like there can't be any swears in it. So I think your fart is where that comes from. So
it's so good. Yeah,
let's lean more into it.
You have this little side game I think it's just at the beginning where the words are misunderstood as other words. So that, to me, that's more of an unusual thing than saying or. So I was like, oh, the game is like mishearing people. But then it was more about using like proper terminology. So either like frame that somehow or like make like maybe just get rid of those. I don't know. But like,
oh, totally. To
clarify the game there. I think that would
totally
like flow. Yeah.
Oh, word. Okay. Thank you. That's a great note. Thank you.
Keith did a great job reading Jonathan Catan, but I was also in my mind reading it as if Jonathan Van Ness was reading Jonathan Catan.
Oh, I love that thing
for me.
Oh, that would be great. That would be so great.
Who is that?
From Queer Eye. He's the hairstylist on Queer Eye. Yeah.
Okay.
I was thinking about Chris Kattan the whole time. So I don't know if he could make an appearance. Or maybe someone could be like, well, I brought Chris Kattan. Did you really? No, I didn't bring him.
Yeah. That's funny as a misdirect.
Wait, I'm sorry. Who is Chris Kattan?
I think he was on SNL for a while. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He was.
I just think if Chris Kattan's in the sketch, then Marco needs to try to correct him on how to pronounce his own name.
Ever since you became a Fulbright scholar, you've become pretty unbearable.
Our second sketch today is titled Escape, written by
Alicia Reem.
Announcer will be played by
Tyler Chick.
Jess will be played by
Keely Anastasia.
And Jane will be played by
Billy Lawrence.
Exterior, creepy house, night. We see Jane and Jess, two women in their mid-20s. They're standing awkwardly on the sidewalk in front of a big, creepy, haunted house.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Escape, where our friends Jane and Jess escape stuff and places.
Jane and Jess wave at the camera. They do some confidence poses in front of the house.
In this episode, they will be escaping the murder house. This house is widely known. This house is widely known for the murder-suicide in 76, the serial murders in 84, 85, 86, and 89. There is also that accidental death in 96, another murder in 2004 and 2008, also those weird accidental deaths in 2012. So don't do this unless you're a professional escape artist like Jane and Jess. Trust me, this is totally safe. These girls know what they're doing, and it's not like anything will happen. It's just a building. It's just a building, and no one lives there.
Okay. The girls give a thumbs up and run into the house, nervously laughing. The house is dusty and still furnished with old dusty stuff. The girls start walking around the house.
Okay, so I love these old houses. They are literally the easiest thing to escape from. The amount of windows, ledges, and doors is ridiculous. Like, seriously.
We hear a loud thud in the kitchen. The girls jump and scream.
No worries, girls. No one's here. It's probably the wind or something. To be safe, we should check it out and make sure no one is here. After we confirm all clear, we'll show the many, many escape routes in this house.
The girls slowly tiptoe towards the kitchen. We see a tall figure in the kitchen wearing black sweats and a ski mask. The girls scream and run back towards the front door.
Okay, no worries, everyone. These ladies are professionals and they know what they're doing. As you can see, they are running back to the front door.
They take a sharp turn last second away from the front door and up the steps.
Wait, where are you going? You literally just walked right past the front door. Why would you run upstairs? That's the opposite direction from outside.
Jess and Jane get to the top of the steps and run into the room at the end of the hall.
Okay, well, this can work. The window seems to be near the porch sunroof. It'll be an easy climb, and they ran into a closet.
Oh my gosh, I'm so scared.
Me too. What do we even do in this situation?
I don't know.
The masked figure opens the closet door. Jane looks over and sees a bat. She hits the figure in their head and they turn into dust and disappear.
Oh my gosh, Jane, you saved my life.
Of course. I'm always here for you, Jess.
Jess and Jane start making out intensely.
Hey, ladies, I'm glad you're alive, but we should run. That was clearly a ghost or some shit. I lied earlier. This place has seriously unearthly vibes.
Let's take a bath. You're filthy.
Yeah, I got dead ghost dust all over me.
Seriously, ladies, another murderer might form out of nowhere.
Jane and Jess start making out while walking down the hall, knocking over random vases and picture frames. The masked figure appears at the end of the hall and starts walking slowly towards them. They're playing with some piano wire.
Okay, so the ghost is back, like I said, so y'all should run now.
The girls see the ghost and run down the stairs. They run so fast that their bodies slam against the front door. They push themselves off the door and start running towards the kitchen.
You were literally touching the door. What is going on? All you had to do was open it and run out. Okay, breathe. It's fine. There's another door in the kitchen. You can leave there.
The girls stop right before the kitchen and open the basement door.
What are you doing? That basement is underground? There are no doors. There aren't even windows. What is your plan?
The ladies huddle in the corner of the dark basement. The masked figure can clearly see them and lunges at them, screaming. Jane grabs a loose piece of rebar and knocks the masked figure in the head. The ghost turns into dust again.
Oh my gosh, Jane, you saved my life again.
I would never let anything happen to you, Jess.
Jess and Jane start making out passionately.
Ladies, seriously, the masked ghost killer will be back. Let's get out of here.
Come on, let's get out of here.
They come out of the basement and head into the kitchen. The masked figure appears again. Jess screams and falls onto the floor. She makes eye contact with the masked figure, continuous screaming. This has been going on for a full minute.
Get up. Why are you on the ground? You weren't even running or walking. You just sat on the floor and started screaming.
Jane runs to Jess and sits on the ground with her, holding her and screaming in fear.
This isn't helping. Y'all could have been out of here hours ago.
The masked figure slowly walks up to the girls and starts stabbing them with the kitchen knife.
Okay, well, this episode is a bust. Tune in next week Tune in next week when our new hires try to escape a haunted asylum. Be sure to like and subscribe.
Yes. Let's talk about this. Yeah.
I am pretty much the announcer in IRL. This is me every movie I watch. I'm like, y'all are such idiots. You touch the escape route, this and that. And I'm like, this is stupid. Everyone's stupid. If I was in that house, I would have escaped so long ago. But then also, I was just like, maybe Jess and Jane are like professionals, and you don't know how you're going to react when you actually end up in a murder house. You could end up doing stupid shit.
The announcer's voice is so, there's like such a disconnect between like what an announcer for a show does for the audience and what this announcer is doing. So like, I just think it's like immediately hilarious because the perspective of the announcer is like, it's not even really talking to the audience in this like very fun way. My like favorite parts of what the announcer does is like kind of reassuring the audience that everything's going to be okay, which is funny because it like an announcer is usually like, let me reframe the tension so that we remind you what the tension is. And this announcer is being like, don't worry, viewers, it's okay. Nobody's name, like it's like the opposite. So I'd love to see like a clear defined thing from the announcer of like, I love these old houses, they're easy to escape and I'm here to help them escape. Like hearing the announcer say that like the announcer wants Jane and Jess to get out and that they're gonna try to like help I think would be funny because then we like know what the announcer wants. Also, the Jess and Jane like freaking out thing is so funny. I'd love for the announcer to be like, I told everyone you were professional. Stop making out. Like, be professional.
Yeah. I said you could escape stuff and places.
Yeah. They do hear the announcer or they don't. It's strictly a voiceover. Do they?
It's strictly a voiceover. Okay. Is that what y'all got? There was one part where I was like, I think they could probably hear him.
Okay.
Yeah, I think clarifying which one of those it is would be helpful.
Yeah, be very key.
I really like the second game of them just being like super horny for each other, like by like ghost stuff. Like they have like a ghost fetish.
Yeah.
I think that's hilarious. Yeah.
Saying out loud, like, oh my God, being around ghosts just makes me so hot for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Or like, you got ghost dust all on my titties. Like, or like something.
All my professional escaper training is going right out the window.
No, I love the announcer's voice. It's very Alicia, actually.
Thank you. I did realize halfway through that the announcer says no worries a lot. And I was just like, oh, Alicia.
No worries is such a funny thing for an announcer to say.
Okay, so I love these old houses.
Our final sketch today is titled One Last Shit. Written by
Sam Whitney.
Katie will be played by
Amy D.
Sarah will be played by
Keely Anastasia.
And Grandpa White will be played by
Keithy.
Interior kitchen day. Sarah and Katie are sitting on the parlor floor across from each other inside a circle of candles.
Have you ever tried this before?
Nope. I don't really believe in this stuff.
Okay, let's give it a shot. We need to hold hands.
Katie and Sarah hold hands and both take a deep breath.
Are there any spirits in the room?
There was a long silence and Katie's great-great-great-grandpa White, 30s, appears. He is translucent and is wearing a blue Civil War uniform. His face is covered in pockmarks.
Katie, it's your great-great-great-grandpa Ezekiel White.
Oh, wow. Not who I was expecting. I think he was a hero during the Civil War or something.
I thought you said he was good looking.
Well, dear Sarah, I used to be a real looker. I sowed my seeds before the smallpox got me. That's how my darling Katie is here now.
Ew, too much information.
A foul smell starts to permeate the room.
Oh, God, what is that smell?
Oh, sorry, that was me. My comrades and I have been traveling through time to find an outhouse so we can take one last shit.
Great, 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 Grandpa. Oh, why did you wait 150 years to poop?
Well, my darling Katie, not many people know this, but they lock outhouses. Me and my bubs try to get into thousands of shit boxes. None of them were open. And then they started putting them inside the house. We thought we would have to hold our shit for eternity until you summoned me.
So I'm guessing bub means friend?
Yes, best friend. So, do you have an indoor outhouse we can use?
Sure, it's the first door on the left.
Much obliged, Sarah. I'll let my bubs go first. Let her rip, boys.
The bathroom door opens and closes. There is a lot of farting and sighing. The foul smells get stronger. Katie opens a window. She then goes to a lower cabinet, gets three more candles and a deodorizing room spray. She lights three more candles and starts spraying the room spray all over the room.
Grandpa, what did you do during the Civil War? My dad said you were a war hero.
Well, I was in the infantry until I tripped over a cannonball and hit my head. I got all swimmy-headed, and I haven't been right since. They made me a wagon driver after that.
A wagon driver. Huh.
Well, it looks like it's finally my time to use the indoor shitter.
Great, great, great Grandpa White disappears to use the bathroom.
Oh, this is the most beautiful toilet I've ever seen. My beautiful porcelain goddess. Goodbye, quick step.
Great, great, great Grandpa White farts and takes a shit in the bathroom. He is in there for about an hour. The smell becomes unbearable.
The smell is overwhelming. Are all the windows open?
Yep, all the windows are open and all the candles are lit.
Sarah and Katie start driving.
Grandpa, are you still there?
Great, great, great Grandpa White reappears at the head of the table. He has a huge smile on his face and looks very relieved.
I'm still here, but I don't have much time left. My curse has been lifted.
Great, great, great Grandpa. How did you die?
I was in Kentucky. And I was driving my wagon full of artillery away from the battlefield when I was captured by the Rebs. They took me to Andersonville, the worst prison camp in the Confederacy. Those damn Rebs gave me some bad hardtack. And I got the quick step, which some people call diarrhea. It spread all through the camp. Oh, you think it smells bad in here? Imagine being at a camp with 100 other people shitting their lives away.
Oh, God, how many people died?
Well, 40 of my best bubs died. We are all buried down there in Reb territory.
So, you can walk through walls, but your poop is real? How does that work? I don't know if my toilet can handle 40 people's poop. Why couldn't it just be invisible poop?
Yes, my lovely Sarah, you see, the Rebs cursed us. They told us we would have to carry our poop for all eternity. Unless we could find someone who truly loved our insides and shit to break the curse. You and my darling Katie helped my comrades and I complete our journey. We just needed one last shit. Now we're free.
Great, great, great Grandpa White opens his arm wide and takes a deep breath. He looks happy and relaxed.
Thank you, my darling Katie.
Great, great, great Grandpa White farts and then disappears. Katie and Sarah hear multiple farts just outside the window. They hear faint cries of freedom.
Great, great, great Grandpa, are you still there?
I think he's gone, Katie.
Let's talk about that sketch.
My brother told me that our great-great-great-grandpa died of, diarrhea or dysentery. And I was like, oh, okay, great. I'm going to use that in this sketch.
Cool. Can you pass the salt?
So that's where the idea came from. And then, Keely had some good ideas about, you know, some things that didn't make sense and some other people's. I repeated a couple things. I took out information about the cannonball and then I just made it just like a summoning a spirit instead of the Ouija board. So those are the changes that I made.
Yeah.
Oh, and also about the toilet, too. So
there's like so much fun stuff going on here. And one of my favorite things about this sketch is that this version of this like person's family past is coming up. I don't know how old Sarah and Katie are, but I'd love to know how old they are. Because also there's something going on here where like this is happening in front of Sarah. Like I imagine them as like teenage girls and like this is embarrassing for Katie also. Like so I think there's something like there to be spoken to, but a lot of the framing moves you have, especially like Sarah's, so you can walk through walls, but your poop is real. So you do like such a good job of like asking those questions that need to be answered. So I think you have like everything you need and the core of this, of like reaching out into the beyond, getting this thing, and then like wanting to get information and wanting to learn about your family history, but like the bub shitting and the like and Grandpa White shitting is just like getting in the way. So like I think for that game, a really fun thing to do would put like how Grandpa White died like sooner, like on page one, just so we can see like what's going on here. Like, even if it's like, like we haven't even talked about the toilet yet, but he's just like, I died of this quick step dysentery, and like explains that whole thing. And then, you know, the ask for like bubs to enter the house or bubs to use the bathroom or whatever could just be like, like, sure, whatever. And as they realize what's going on or like hear the noises or like, I love the idea of using this spray and the candles that you have too. And I love the idea of like doing that while you're trying to rest, being like, so in the, I heard you were good looking. yeah, like
I'd like to see a little bit of higher stakes for Katie as well as Sarah, and their relationship could create a little more tension, where I'd like to see at the very beginning, maybe Katie saying, my grandfather was gorgeous and he died a noble death. And what I like he is this revered family member that she's trying to say, we're going to contact Grandpa, whatever, Grandpa White, and you're going to see all these braggy things I've said about my grandpa. And Sarah's just like, yeah, I don't think so. So the whole time Sarah's attitude could be like, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. This guy's disgusting. And Katie can just get more and more embarrassed and just raise that tension between them and play that, use their dialogue to further that, like, this is ridiculous kind of thing. That was my thought.
I could see Katie seeing, like, saying to Sarah, what, like, your farts don't smell? You know, because she's so embarrassed.
They've been dead for 150 years. Cut up some slack.
That's some old poop.
Maybe Katie is like so desperate for like connecting with her ancestors that she's not really that embarrassed. But Sarah has like real bad like secondhand embarrassment for her and is like naming that. I just love secondhand embarrassment. Her being like, Katie, no, seriously, this is embarrassing. Like, why are you cringing right now? Being like, I just, you know, I know nothing about my family or like where I came from. Like, this is really important to me.
You just started sitting at the same lunch table as me at lunch last week. This is the first time I'm coming over.
It's just too cringy. I'm not sure if we can be friends anymore.
Everyone's going to hear about this tomorrow.
Yeah. My great-great-great-grandfather broke Confederate lines at the Battle of Bull Run.
And he's like, oh, yeah, about that, actually.
I sowed my seeds before the smallpox got me. That's how my darling Katie is here now.
Oh, what's that sound?
Oh, what's that sound? Whatever could it be?
Something's coming down the tracks, I think.
Yeah.
Do you hear that, everyone? Goodness. Wait,
Mr. Conductor, we know you're not part of the crowd wondering what sound it is. We know.
What's happening right now? I'm a part of the crowd.
We know you're not. We know you're just the conductor. We can see.
He's floating to different places and taking on different, like putting on different hats.
Yeah. You're not going to confuse us with your ghostly form.
Where? What matter of situation are we putting ourselves in this time? As I put on my pointy wizard's hat.
We know it's you, Mr. Conductor. You're not a wizard.
Okay.
There's no such thing as wizards. Right.
Yeah, checkmate. There's no wizards.
Stop trying to fool us.
We got an expert over here, crowd. We got an expert on wizard lore.
Are you an insult comic now?
Conductor, what happened to you?
Death has not been good to you.
No.
What has it happened to me?
Is it all the hazing?
It's the dirty water.
Yeah.
It's that dirty trench water they made me drink. I was hazed. Wow. Yeah, it did stuff to me, you know.
All right. Well, are you still able to take Rift tickets?
I got a room for a couple in me.
Don't drink dirty water, Sketchies.
Don't do it.
Wouldn't recommend. Wouldn't
Tyler,
recommend.
What's that you got there?
Oh, I got a ticket for the for the Rift train.
Faster, Tyler. All right, I'll step a little closer. Let's see what you got.
What? Step a little closer.
Yeah, well, I can't. Can I just read? Get on the... I can't read from this distance.
Well, I'm handing it to you.
It's great that we created a situation in which we're just not already close enough to pass a ticket.
Okay, I'm getting on the train now. Here I'm going up the steps, and I'm taking a seat.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Conductor Ghost. So I was just picturing a wedding that an ex of one of the people getting married is in attendance and gives a toast and has been saying, like, their friends are like, are you really okay to go to this wedding? And they're like, yeah, of course, I'm fine. I'm even giving a toast, like, we're cool. And and then is just, like, literally crying the entire toast and insisting that they're not crying. These are not tears, by the way. I got some hot pepper in my eye. I was eating salsa before I came up here.
This is happiness liquid.
Is there a lavender perfume? I'm really allergic to lavender. Yes.
All right, I admit my eyes are kind of red, but I got stoned before I did this, and not for escapism reasons, but because I'm celebrating.
This is all. Yeah.
I'm gonna play a song on the harp now.
This is a love song, but not because I still love my friend. It's a love song for them together.
She lies and says she's in love with him. Can't find a better man.
Oh my god, a harp version of, like, a harp version. I'm so happy for the bride and groom. I just want to say congratulations. And nobody's commented on my outfit, and I'm okay with that. Today's not about me.
Or my baker boy. Not about me.
Maybe you're wondering about my pin. It is a pin that I made out of a gift that our lovely bride here made for me in high school. And I take it with me everywhere I go. And so I thought I would wear it as a pin today.
It's a piece of a cassette tape that she made me with some music on it. But then when I stopped having a cassette player, I tore apart the tape and looked at it until I found the part where she said a nice message to me in the recording, and I made it into a ribbon.
But I'm over her. I'm totally over her.
And, you know, cheers to Scott. What a lucky guy.
I hope you know how lucky you are. Just kidding. Yeah, just kidding.
It took me a while to figure out that Scott wasn't boring.
And yeah, he talks about politics sometimes.
Must have been a long courtship, because it probably takes a while to get to know someone like that. Just nothing really on the surface. You got to really dig, you know?
I mean, I knew the bride for 6 years, but
I thought he's got to have a lot of money, but nope.
Plus, I saw him with his shirt off once. Not much going on there either.
Very little in the way of chest hair. Not a one.
Zero.
Not
abs.
A one visible.
I got a Peloton. Just mentioning.
Scott, if you ever want to come over and use my Peloton, you're welcome to.
Because we're friends. That's what friends offer their Pelotons.
There's no way an accident's going to happen on the Peloton.
It's so safe.
They've been proven safe.
Next to the bike.
I'll never forget when you guys started dating. I came home and all of my belongings were outside in boxes.
I will never forget that.
I remember I looked in the house and saw Scott for the first time and couldn't believe he was able to move all that himself.
Yeah. Pretty quirky way to break up with someone. Am I right? Pretty silly. Oh. Yeah. But we are good friends.
Yeah. They look at the mother of the groom or bride and are like, really, Diane? You're going to look at me like that? You cried during the whole ceremony. Nobody had any problems with that, did they?
Can't someone just be happy for a good friend?
Some think these blonde tips were a cry for help, but others say I look just like Justin Timberlake.
I've always Justin wanted these. Timberlake. I finally feel free enough to do it thanks to my two best friends getting married.
Thank you. Best
I think I'm just trying new things. Is that okay with everybody here?
Father O'Malley.
I'm not buying your merch, Father O'Malley.
I got stoned before I did this, and not for escapism reasons, but because I'm celebrating.
Oh my gosh, Mr. Conductor, what's that in your hand?
What's this? Oh, this is just a hole puncher. Oh, it's a ticket!
That's a ticket. What's it say?
Whoa, Engineer Amy, you got good spectacles on you. I need your mind adjusted. Goodness gracious me. Oh, boy, let's read this out loud here. Then I get a surprise ticket from the old conductor.
It's not a surprise.
Conductor, are you drinking again?
Yes.
Yeah. He died drunk. It's a whole
He died drunk, yeah. So he's gone forever.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm behind on the conductor.
The lore update.
Yes.
Yeah, so like it. I guess it's not, this is just a story, like a very embarrassing story that happened to me recently. So I went to a White Elephant and like a White Elephant, like gift giving thing. And I was kind of in a hurry when I was getting out of my car and going to it. And I got, I thought I had the right gift. And it was not that, but I didn't know it until everyone started like, going around, and so like someone picked up mine, and it was the thing that I wanted to give to somebody else,
which was,
I was just like, it was like this, it was a little tiny jar of honey, cannabis honey actually. So I was just sitting there paralyzed because I didn't want to be like, I didn't want to interrupt the White Elephant festivities to be like, wait, I got you the wrong gift. I'm so sorry. Wow. I was just in my head until like pretending that everything was okay. And then I surreptitiously was just like, I got you the wrong, this is the wrong thing. I'll just give you mine.
Why didn't you go out to your car and get the right gift? Like afterwards. Why didn't you, hey, you can just have, instead of giving him the one you had.
Yeah. I felt like I wanted to just be done with the entire situation.
Did you like what you had bought for White Elephant more than what you got for White Elephant?
I mean, I guess I have to be okay with it now. It was, what I actually bought was like this tallow cream or whatever that you like rub on your skin.
You went to a White Elephant, you had bought tallow cream, yes, to go to the White Elephant. Also, yes, in your car there was, yes, some cannabis honey. You took the cannabis honey, yes, with you at the White Elephant, you received a gift. Yes. What was that gift?
That I took to the, and I received and it, like, so it was like a milk chocolate kind of thing. And
yeah.
Yeah, but see, like, I had to give that away to get my cannabis money back.
I gotcha.
So, okay.
This is the sketch. All right. This is the sketch. It's just you going up to somebody at the end of a white elephant and saying, excuse me, I gave you a cannabis honey on accident, but that wasn't for you. That was for somebody else. And I meant to get you tallow cream. I received some milk chocolate stuff during this white elephant. Would you be willing to take the milk chocolate and I'll take the cannabis honey? And I'll just keep the tallow cream. Just do that conversation.
Wait. Yeah, right. I have a question. What sure. kind of milk chocolate stuff?
It was Gertrude Hawk chocolates.
Oh, well.
Very fancy.
Oh. I don't know what that is, but it sounds good.
It's good.
Oh, it's good.
It's good. Isn't that sold at the fundraisers? They,
like yeah, it is. No, it's like Godiva would be better.
If I can clarify,
you're thinking of Wolfgang.
Yeah, the chocolates were actually attached to another gift.
Keith, you didn't say it was a multi-level gift.
Wow.
I guess whoever bought it didn't think like a shower holder for your seltzer was good enough.
Wait,
you really bury the lead in every possible way here.
Why did you tell us it was milk chocolate when
I just bought a shower holder for a seltzer for a gift exchange that I was a part of. I don't know. So.
Did it come with an actual seltzer like mine did?
No.
Oh shit.
Oh my god, it came with I feel like your thing
it came with a 12-ounce.
Is you just got to have the conversation where you're like, I could get away here with a seltzer shower holder, a seltzer, and some milk chocolate, and I'm going to give that up and keep tallow cream because I messed up. I need that honey back.
Good God. This is like, I think you should leave sketch just 100% through and through. It's perfect.
I was massively embarrassed the entire
time. I'm picking up on that, yes.
There's no need for that, Keith.
Keith, I have a question. Why did you tell us that the gift was milk chocolate when that was just like a side gift? That's like telling us that you got batteries instead of telling us you got like the toy.
What?
Never mind.
What gift would you wanted the most? Like, what gift would you have not given to the other person? You would have been like, I better go get the tallow cream and give that because I want this gift.
You know what? There was a bag that had like five different things in it, and like there was one that was
these are five things.
So one a felt message board that you could edit that whatever you want.
One.
Two. A 99-cent cheese Danish.
Two.
Okay. Three. A package of tasty cake candy cakes.
Three.
Fuck.
Is it another snack?
I can't. Another snack. Yes. A tasty cake snack. There was another thing in there. My massive embarrassment.
Five.
These are five things.
Yay!
That was the toughest five things I've ever had to do. I think that's a good riff. All right, that's it for my riff, I guess. One way to assignment station.
I guess.
All right, here we are at assignment station, sketchies. Your assignment for this week is pants in the trash. I went to a comedy show this week where I was performing, and I went to the bathroom. There were pants in the trash. And I thought,
okay. Oh no.
There's a million reasons why this could be this. So, you know, whatever that inspires for you. I thought it was funny, but I thought there's a million ways this could be a sketch. So,
emergency poop.
Pants in the trash. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's any other reason there's pants in the trash.
Maybe the wife threw away some flannel plaid pants of their husband's because there's a big hole in it and the husband persisted in wearing
maybe
them
because they were comfortable. Maybe you're changing your identity and you don't think these pants are really you anymore. Specific. Maybe the pants have bad memories in them.
Or bees.
Yeah, bees.
Bees.
Yeah. Anything. So up to you. Pants in the trash. All right, let's get to Plug Town. Tyler, anything you want
to
plug?
Go to the Discord server.
Yeah, check out our Discord. Discord.
Go.
I'm not going to fancy it up with a beautiful pitch. Just go there.
Keith, anything you want to plug?
I want to plug Funny Honey Co. My friend Jenny helps to make honey that is infused with THC. It's called RSO, technically, artisanal. RSO, which is just extremely concentrated THC. It's a local organic Maryland honey. And it's got that fun, it's got the fun stuff put into it. All you got to do is take like a little bit and then eat it, and you're going to have a good time. It's real exciting if you're into that kind of thing. So, if you want to order some, there's 2 ounce and 4 ounce sizes. She'll ship it to you. You can go to sites.google.com/view/funnyhoneyco. Now the honey is spelled HUNNY, like Winnie the Pooh, in the cartoon or book or whatever. How honey would be spelled on that jar. So just keep that in mind and order some. It's really good.
All right, friends. Thank you so much for coming with us on this journey. And thank you to all the participants and to Jeff Powers for the music you've heard. And thanks, listeners. If you'd like to support the show or check out more that we have to offer, head on over to sketchysketchsketch.com.
And while you're there, check out different ways to support us, like our Patreon, where you can see our Zoom calls and get exclusive merch. And if you're like, hey, I'm a funny person,
do it.
Let me on this show. I write funny sketches. Send us those sketches so and we'll read them and we'll get back to you and we'll book you on the show.
Yeah, we'll do it. And feel free to reach out to us if one of the sketches you've heard really impacted you, or you have a joke idea you'd like to pass along to the writer, hit us up on our website where there is a place to do that.
As always, if you like what you heard, please tell your friends. Check us out on socials. Subscribe. Check out our classes. Give us 5 stars on what you're listening on.
Yep. Do all those things because we love you and you love us and it's a love, love, love. So thank you.
Love, love. Thanks
lovers.
For the support.
We love you. You love us. Mutual.
We're lovers.
Lovers.
Bye.
So, bye. We love you.
Thank you very much.